because in autoimmune illnesses, part of the self, part of the cell, part of our proteins is not recognized as self. It's taken on an other identity, whatever the cause is, some in a whole other story. Part of our cells have taken on, it's not self.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my pleasure to be with you here again on another episode. This is so much fun. And I've got another guest. It's a topic we haven't talked about before. And you know how I always say, it's amazing who you know, and then they also know amazing people. Well, that's what happened here. You'll remember from February 15th, we had Dr. Elson Haas on again. That was his second appearance. And he said, you have to meet Sandra Barrett. And I said, really, why? And he told me why, because they've co-authored some books together, but she also is an expert in cell health. And so let me read a bit of her bio, and then I'll tell you why I found out that was so important even before I knew Sandra, and I said, I got to have her on. So Sandra Barrett is a PhD in addition to being a medical scientist and a former faculty at the University of California Medical School and California Institute of Integral Studies. She has been a health educator for more than 30 years. She's an award-winning photographer and uses her microscope to photograph and share the inner beauty and intelligence of our cells and molecules. She is the author of 3 books, Wine's Hidden Beauty, The Microscopic Patterns of Wine and Taste, Secrets of Your Cells, Discovering Your Body's Inner Intelligence, that's the one we're going to talk about today mostly, as well as she's co-authored Dr. Elson Haas's book, Ultimate Immunity. So we'll get into, she has a really impressive bio as you can tell, but I want to bring her on right now because I want to have every second we can with her on this important topic of cell health. So welcome, Sandra. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thanks, Sharon. Thanks for inviting me. This is fun.
You know, you and I were chatting beforehand, and I mentioned to you that it wasn't until my naturopath said, you know, Sharon, there are things we can do to strengthen your cell health that will help you overcome the immune condition that's happening right now, the immune experience that you're having. And I looked at her sort of dumbfounded, gobsmacked, whatever you want to say. I had never thought at that level of, you mean I can do something to my cells? I guess I thought always about fixing the body or not fixing the body, not working at that very specific level. So let's talk about our cells and why it's important that we do give them some focus.
Well, I mean, Sharon, we are cells. We're a cellular universe. Our bodies are constructed of 50 trillion cells at least.
Wow. And we never think of them. Why is that?
We never think of cells. They seem abstract. They don't seem real at all. But in reality, everything our cells need for life, we need. I mean, it's them now as our teachers because they need oxygen, they need breath, they need water, they need to move. All the things that we've been taught about keeping ourselves healthy operate at a cellular level. And once you begin to understand, it's like I've been teaching about cells at least for the past 25 years, and people are always surprised at how smart these cells are and that we can really get in touch with them to engage for our own healing.
That was what was fascinating to me, was as I began to explore it, as along with my naturopath, start to enhance my cell health, anything that I could do to optimize my cells, I was surprised at how rapid they responded. I thought, I was so impressed.
One of my mantras I use when I talk about cells, they're always in the now. They're in the present moment. So what takes them out of the present moment is what's going on up here, are our actions. So there's an immediate responsiveness to what we think, what we eat, how we move, that's influencing our cell health. And I get down into it beyond this whole cell. I get down into what's the cell membrane? Where is intelligence? What about what's called the cytoskeleton? We now know that the cytoskeleton, which is the fabric of the cells that connects everything inside the cell to outside, it's mechanically influenced, meaning the tension, the compression, the movements we make, our postures, influences the cell, and it's faster than the molecular responses. It's not as fast as the nervous system, but it's like 50 times faster, just changing a posture.
Now, maybe this is not a good correlation. I just want to ask the question, is it similar to our fascia?
It's connected. It's connected to the fascia. There's a slide I use when I do PowerPoints, which is the cells have, basically, you can think of the cells having a fascia. Cells have a connective tissue. We have the outside of the cell, which is the membrane that holds the container for the cell. And we have the nucleus. We all know about our genes. We think about that. And in between the nucleus, the core of the cell, and the outside is this connective tissue, if you will, the cytoskeleton. And that then, through the outside of the cell, is connected to the fascia. So everything is connected.
Mm. We just learned about fascia from Gina Brea and her wonderful book on hydration called Quench. And she shared with us the amazing, I guess it's an organ, of fascia. I was so impressed at how it is so overlooked, just like the cells here. So what can we do? My audience is comprised mostly of people with going through an autoimmune experience. And many ways the cells are absolutely involved. They're under, some people say they're under attack. I'm not sure if that's, I've always had a higher belief that the body is an amazing system, that there's got to be something going on for the body to attack itself. But let's talk about what can we do at that cellular level to help relieve symptoms of autoimmune.
Okay, that's a big question.
It's a huge question. Just jump wherever it feels right.
One of the things, I work a lot with imagery and guided visualization as beyond, you know, beyond ourselves or to get inside ourselves. And one of the things I would invite your listeners to do is to examine or imagine how they look at the identity of their cells, because in autoimmune illnesses, part of the self, part of the cell, part of our proteins is not recognized as self. It's taken on an other identity, whatever the cause is, some in a whole other story. So part of our cells have taken on, it's not self. So I always look at all illnesses basically as lessons, and like, well, what do I need to do to recognize myself better, not to make ourselves wrong when we have an illness or an autoimmune disease, but how am I not recognizing myself? How do I need to recognize myself better? It's a way to look at it. And if I was getting into imagery with it, then I would say, can you change the identity of the cell that's being attacked or that's being recognized as not self? Can you change its identity back to being self? Is there a way of doing that in your mind? because I see imagery is very, very powerful. It's not the same thing with cancer. With cancer cells, the cancer cells are still recognized as self. That's why the immune system doesn't attack most cancer cells, because the outside identity markers are still saying self. Whereas in some autoimmune diseases, the proteins, like in MS, the protein, myelin sheath protein, is recognized as not self. So how do we change the identity back? Can we allow for the possibility that we can change the identity where it's lost, if it's lost its sense of self?
Wow. I am amazed. I am getting chills, everyone. This is so amazing to me. Sandra, that's not where I expected you to go, and I am thrilled you did. I mean, that is so amazing to me. We've had several guests on who have talked about this idea of visualization, meditation, imagery, seeing ourselves as whole and complete and well and optimized. That is amazing that we can get ourselves to respond. Such a deeper level of learning for me just happened, everybody. I've got chills. Okay. let me center myself here. Because this is so reminiscent, everyone. Listen to Sarah Payton. Remember, in November when she talked about the hidden healing power of anger? Oh, Sandra and Sarah are right on the same track here. This is fantastic. I love the idea that I've learned through my 4 years of my healing experience from my autoimmune diagnosis that we have more power over our body than we ever thought we did, over our healing, our ability to understand and come to terms with what's going on. I've absolutely been amazed, because when I started my journey, it was the old-fashioned idea of, I always like to call them white coat authority, knows best, and take 2 aspirin, you'll feel better in the morning. And that's kind of where I was coming from. And what I've learned on this autoimmune experience is it's so much broader than that. To heal your body is not just at the physical, this idea of, you know, putting a Band-Aid on something physical. This is fantastic that the cells, even the cells, respond at that level. Now that I'm saying that, I'm thinking that, it seems like, duh, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, we are a cellular universe. I mean, what's responding when we have an illness? What's responding when I'm raising my hands? Those are all cells. But I wanted to tell you a story, my first experience with imagery related to the white coat authority. Many years ago, I mean, maybe 40 years ago, I was teaching kids guided imagery. I was doing guided imagery with children, but I had never done it for myself. And then I got a rash, and I couldn't get rid of this rash. I was using hydrocortisone cream and all kinds of stuff. The rash still stayed there. And I said, well, to myself, you talk about imagery, why don't you give it a try? So I went into a state of relaxation and meditation, and this little elf shows up. He says his name is Mortimer, and he's going to clean the rash. And he uses gold spikes, and he's under my skin, and he's cleaning my rash. I mean, I'm not telling it anything. He's doing it for me. And the next day, the rash was gone. And I thought, this is fabulous. It really works. And I was still at UCSF at that time. Or maybe I had just left, and I had gone to one of my colleagues who was an oncologist. And I said, you know, I wanted to start working with his patients, which he said he was open to. And we went to his office, and he said, I have some files that will really be helpful for you. And he takes out this file called Quackery, and it's all about guided imagery.
Oh, dear.
So, you know, the next day the rash was back. So is the white coat authority telling me this stuff is woo-woo, it's not real, it's quackery? So, I mean, I think that goes for any of us when we are on a healing path, that whether it's our doctors or our family who's saying this isn't going to work, we really need to start, we need to be able to trust ourselves, because we're the healing and spirit. We're who does the healing, and it's so easy to be influenced by the outside world.
Oh, that's true. I'm a big fan of always saying, this is my body. I know exactly what I'm feeling and what's going on. And language is such a disservice to me when someone says, what's your pain, 0 to 10? And I go, well, look, I've given birth. You know, my version of what 10 is going to be really different from somebody who, you know, has not ever experienced any sort of tremendous or chronic pain. And so I've always found that language tends to sort of get into the problem. And my other belief is that on these types of things, like guided imagery, deep breathing exercises, micro movements like Gina Brea brought to us about hydration and micro movements. Absolutely. Why not try them? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Yet when it's something more intense, sometimes we can get into quackery with autoimmune. And something more intense, definitely. Do lots of research. That's what I bought the Autoimmune Hour, is my own way of doing lots and lots of research, everyone.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there are a lot of things out there, but you know your body best. I'm always a big proponent of saying, you know your body best. And I think knowing my body best was one way when I decided to get off the therapy drugs that had, in all honesty, they saved my life. But at a certain point, intuitively, I just knew that my body wasn't responding in the way they should to them anymore. And that I chose to get off the therapy drugs. And so far, so good. So I think Sandra and I are both on the bus, same page about trust our body, trust what it says to us. What are some things we can do to support cell health, or how do we find out what our cells need? I mean, maybe is it like missing nutrients, or I've just always been kind of confounded. Like, how do I know what my cells need?
Well, your cells always need stress management. They always need finding time during the day to really unwind, relax, and find effective ways that turn off the, I call it the caca.
The monkey chatter.
The monkey chatter. How do you turn that off? You know, because when we're ill, especially with something that's considered chronic and lifelong, that chatter can really get us into stress, fear, and it's using up the resources the body needs for healing. So number one, lower your stress level. Find multiple ways to do that. One thing doesn't always work. You need a couple things. Use some kind of exercise, walk, dance in the house, laugh. Laughter medicine is really useful for balancing immune system. For autoimmune diseases, I'm not allowed to prescribe, but don't take anything that activates immune function, because that's going to turn, I mean, autoimmune disease is, as you know, a hyperactive immune state. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be taking things like echinacea that can be turning on activity, and we don't know how it's going to work. Make sure you have good support system, people to at least talk to, play with. It's kind of basic. Everything we know about how do we live long and well, manage stress, move your body, eat well, no processed foods if you can help it, have good friends, and laugh a lot. I mean, what more is there?
I love laugh a lot. We've had Valerie Shepherd on, and she's a laughter yoga instructor. Wow. And I'll tell you, when she had us even do a forced laugh, I mean, we hadn't said anything funny, so it wasn't what I call a natural native laugh. It was just, she said, start laughing. And so she and I did on the show, look up Valerie Shepherd's, she's been on the show a couple of times, she's just awesome, about forcing a laugh. And there again, I felt happier for hours afterwards, even though I can't point to say, I mean, nothing. In my mind, it's like nothing happened. I forced myself to laugh. But what I was surprised at was there again, how fast the cells responded. And they responded to as if, not reality.
Yeah, cells don't know the difference between what's real and imagined. So imagine laughing. I know when I started studying Qigong, my Qigong teacher talked about the Alan Watts Ha meditation. And the Ha meditation was Ha. Ha. Ha.
Ha.
Ha. Ha. Ha.
Ha. That actually makes you want to laugh after you say it a couple of times, doesn't it? That's a weird response. Say it a couple of times and you absolutely start to giggle. That is strange.
So I don't know if it's a combination of the Ha word or the sound or the vibration. So music, I didn't mention an important healing practice. Music. We're string instruments. This fabric of the cell are strings and they vibrate. So any kind of energy medicine helps our healing and get into balance.
Oh, wow.
Jonathan Goldman, I don't know if you've read Jonathan Goldman's The Humming Effect.
No, I am not familiar with that one.
Okay, so The Humming, you should have Jonathan on sometime. So when I started working with women with chronic fatigue decades ago, I was using humming because there had been some work in music and medicine talking about the psychologist Arlen Malberg in Wisconsin talked about how he worked with his patients who didn't find any success with talking therapy. He came up with humming, that humming for 15, first imagining the sound, and then humming helped return the sense of self to many of his clients. So since I was working with women with chronic fatigue who had lost their sense of self because of this illness that took away their cognitive abilities, their memory, their sense of self. So I was teaching it as how to recover the psychological self. And then Jonathan, was it last year? Not this fall, last year came out with The Humming Effect, which had, he's a sound healer for decades, research on the physiology of humming, which lowered blood pressure, lowered stress hormones, increased endorphins, which decreased his pain, influenced the lymphatic system. So it was like all these parameters physiologically that were empowered by 5 minutes of humming. And when I taught my first online stress class and I included coaching with it, some of the students were saying that was the only thing that worked for them. One was a nurse who could never get, she was a nurse and an energy healer, so she knew all this stuff. She could never get out of her mind, the mind talk all the time. Just the only thing that really worked for her was humming.
Oh,
and
wow.
Within minutes, it got to aligning everything together. So I like a medicine bag of tricks. One size doesn't fit all.
We need to take a quick commercial break, but I want to have a little thing we're doing during this break. Is it one tone, just a hum, or do we sing along? Do we hum along? Just one tone.
One tone. It's not singing. It's not a musical thing. It's one tone.
Okay. Can we hear your tone so we can practice that on the during the commercial break? Okay, everyone. That's what we practice. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Talk to you soon.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're here with Sandra Barrett. She's a PhD and a medical scientist and former faculty at the University of California Medical School, as well as known as award-winning photographer that uses her microscope to photograph and share the inner beauty and intelligence of cells and molecules. And she's the author of 3 books. And tonight we've been talking about the secret of your cells, and she's been sharing with us things honestly, I've never heard before, nor did I ever think about, such as visualizing our cells, visualizing what would optimize our cells, visualizing them working correctly and having their own correct identity back. That was amazing. As well as how did the go for everyone during the commercial? I'd love to hear it in the comments section. Sandra, this is just, I'm being blown away. I never thought about our cells. I don't know why. Why don't we teach young people what our cells are? I mean, we learn about our body in such the large format, but never understand the delicate uniqueness of it.
I think we don't teach it to young people because it seems too abstract. I mean, I don't know. I would think they're learning cell biology, but I don't know. I haven't had grade school kids in my family for a long time.
Yeah, me neither. Maybe they are teaching it now, but I am just blown away at this idea of being able to think about ourselves in a whole new way. So we've done some visualization, we've done some sound and understanding humming as well as laughter. What other tips do you have that can optimize our understanding of ourselves? I'm really still just blown away about this idea of them reconnecting to their cell identity.
Movement is really key. I mean, what I've been doing is, since I began my romance with the cells, is really recognizing that these ancient healing practices like yoga, like Qigong, operate at a cellular level, not simply an energetic level. So shamanism, one of the oldest forms of healing, using the imagination for healing. Qigong, I always look at, I practice Qigong, I don't practice yoga. So a lot of the Qigong movements will move the energy, but it also gets you in touch with your core self. For me, it's like it brings me into alignment. So a combination of doing any kind of practices, bringing into alignment means, for me, bringing together the mind, the body, and the spirit. And where is the spirit? It's like, I always have this when I teach, the dialogue. Is spirit in every cell? Probably. Where's the soul? And is it the soul that's talking when we're, I'm going a little too far out.
I'm loving this.
is it the soul talking? You know, when we get an insight or some wisdom, is that the soul in our cells talking to us? I don't know. My mind kind of go on to this. Not only are cells smart, our molecules are smart too. And I've been toying with the idea that God was a biochemist, obviously. what else can we do for ourselves? Feed them well, obviously. You had someone on talking about hydration?
Yes, absolutely. She has a marvelous Dr. Dana Cohen and Gina Brea. Look that guys up. Look that podcast up. As well as we had Gina back on to talk about micro movements that help hydrate the body. And that's where we learned all about the amazing fascia and how even just little micro movements can help hydrate each and every cell. I was so surprised at what small movements it took to help the fascia move the fluids around so it got where it needed to go. And that's why I asked that question when you started to describe this interconnectedness. It sounded so much sort of like what Gina was describing on a slightly larger level throughout, you know, this layer of our body. But that's why I was wondering if those two were related. That just fascinated me.
They're totally related. And the micro movements, I mean, if we think about the micro movements that Feldenkrais talked about, that's retraining the brain. So it's happening at a cellular level, and it's happening at a muscle level, the bigger tissue level, and it's impacting the brain. I mean, Feldenkrais said, I think he'd had damaged his knee many times in playing soccer, and it got so painful he couldn't walk. And he wanted to know, was there a way that he could remember or retrain his body so that he remembered to walk without pain? And he came up with these micro movements, managing, moving tiny, tiny bits of himself and changing the pain level. When they were recommending surgery for him, they said, well, you might not walk after the surgeries. That wasn't a possibility to him. So he did this. I don't know how many years it took him to get out of this pain level, but he retrained his brain. All this story about neuroplasticity, the new way of understanding how our brains work. We're retraining. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we're not just retraining the cells and the fascia. We're retraining our brain by every activity we do, which is pretty phenomenal.
It is phenomenal when you think about it. And one of the things you mentioned was about this idea of something not being an option. It really triggered something in me because a couple of times during my healing experience here through the autoimmune, I've just told flat out various white coat authorities, thank you, but that's not an option. And I think that part is critically important to know what is and isn't an option. And the reason in that was the suggestion I got wasn't an option was that would radically change my quality of life to a point which I said, here's my quality of life with the diagnosis. Here's my quality of life that I'm optimizing to. And if I do that suggestion, sounds like I would not be closer to either of those. And I'm like, okay, no, thank you. I will research other options. Because I always looked at it, that suggestion, heaven forbid, is always a possibility if it came to that. But my mind wanted to go into researching what are other opportunities, what are other options, so I have a whole smorgasbord to choose from before I make a radical decision.
That's great wisdom. You know, there's a researcher, Carol Hirschberg. My area of research is much more in the cancer field. And what Carol Hirschberg did, she looked at the thousands of people who had gone into automatic remission or unexpected remission with cancer. There have been gathered thousands of people. And then she interviewed a number of them. I think the book was called Remarkable Recovery, came out many years ago. But what she saw, which is related to what you're saying, is it wasn't any kind of psychological predisposition that gave people cancer, because there was something called the type C personality that was coming out. I think it would be the same type C for autoimmune diseases. And she said there was no personality characteristic related to cancer. But what related to more going into remission was the common factor was that people chose their treatment that was in alignment with what they believed. It could have been in alignment with what the doctors were recommending, and it could have been choosing alternatives. So it wasn't one kind of treatment. It was what works for you. What do you believe in? What are you willing to accept? What are you willing to take a chance on? And I think that's really important, because with, as you know, with autoimmune diseases, the options that you're given are pretty, can be pretty catastrophic in terms of how it may compromise your overall health. So it's being willing to trust yourself sort of enough. I mean, Gene Achterberg, I'm going to suggest it here just because people might want to play with it, or you might want to play with it. I don't want to be irresponsible, but Gene had, there's a whole thing in mind-body medicine, psychoneuroimmunology, the role of the mind that influences the nervous system, that influences the immune system. And scientists learned in the 90s that you can affect the immune system with the senses. Actually, the first experiment showed that you could actually, it was an accident, that wasn't what they weren't trying to show. You could actually depress immune function with the senses. And the, I'll just briefly tell the experiment so it makes, doesn't sound like woo-woo. Psychologist at University of Rochester wanted to study aversive taste experiences that people with cancer often get. They get sick from their medication, and they then next week when they go in for chemotherapy, all they have to do is see the building and they get sick to their stomachs. They haven't had the chemo then. So that was the intention for the research that Robert Ader came up with. And then he said he used an animal model. He used an animal model that gave mice a unique taste, which was saccharine sweetened water, and the unpleasant event, which was making them sick to their stomach, was giving them Cytoxan and made them sick to their stomach, nauseous. And they wouldn't want to drink the water, but that was all they were given that choice over a month. And one of the things that started happening that was unknown to Ader, because he wasn't an immunologist, was the animal started dying of infection from one experience with Cytoxan and unlimited experiences with saccharine sweetened water, but also the first time the saccharine sweetened water was paired with giving the Cytoxan. He went to an immunologist. He said, "Why are my animals dying of infection?" The immunologist, Nick Cohen, said, "Oh, you're giving them Cytoxan. Cytoxan inhibits immune function." I mean, in those days, we thought the immune system was an independent operator, that nothing influenced immune function, let alone the senses. So they went on and developed, along with other people, using ways, pairing like behavioral conditioning, like Pavlov's dog, pairing a sense with either a drug that enhanced immune activity or depressed immune activity, and showed that the one exposure with the drug paired with one of the senses, using the senses after that, would change the immune function, at least for a while.
Wow.
So Achterberg suggested we should be doing this, trying conditioning, sensory conditioning, to be able to lower the amount of drugs that people are taking. Is it possible if I'm taking a drug, I talk about it, but I've never tried it for myself. I'm taking a drug for high blood pressure. Is it possible if I pair taking that drug every time, say, with the smell of peppermint, that if I do that every day, would I need less drug to lower my blood pressure? Would you need less drug to inhibit immune function? I mean, it gets to be a little risky because we don't have the answers. People are not really doing it clinically. We've talked about it. We've done it with animals. But is it possible to at least lower the amount of medication needed to depress immune function with pairing it? When I've taught psychoneuroimmunology to graduate students, I always have them pick out, you know, they have to do their own conditioning experiment. And I'm always surprised to see that there's some effect. And in conditioning, it, you know, it wanes after a while. The body, brain needs to be reminded. But it's like, can we be responsible and try lowering our medication by also using the conditioning? I mean, we can condition relaxation. Every time we meditate, if we smell, say, lavender, the brain, body, cells learn the smell is associated with that relaxed state.
So it's funny you brought up lavender. I was just thinking about that. Was my next question about, I diffuse an essential, very clear organic essential lavender oil right before bed. And I'm pretty sure I'm conditioned because I just got back from a trip, which I didn't have the space in my baggage to take everything I needed. So I left it here. And who knows, was it the hotel room? I thought the hotel room was quite nice and quiet and everything. So I'm not sure. But my little routine had changed. And I'm sure part of that is that missing of the diffused oil there that sort of wakes up the senses like, oh, it's time to sleep.
Well, next time, if you can't do that, bring a little vial and put some drops on your pillowcase.
Oh, much better. There you go. See, simple solutions here, everyone. Sometimes it's fun to experiment with these little simple solutions and retraining our senses, even if we're not going to go to that level, which I suggest talking to your physicians about, but going to retraining things like our taste buds to maybe not be craving. I was raised with the statement with a lot of women in my family, older generation, was here, have a cookie, you'll feel better. And so the sugar is very much related to feeling better. It doesn't even have to be a cookie. It could be any sort of little treat. And I noticed that the emotions change. And so that's so fascinating to me that we're able to even take it into the healing range, such as even just lowering stress or helping you go to sleep. Oftentimes sleep is a problem for a lot of people with autoimmune, you know, just the basic discomfort or unable to find a comfortable position. Since sometimes the brain does get stuck on in monkey chatter during autoimmune flare-ups. Wow, this is fascinating. We need to take one quick more commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some more about our cell health, understanding our body's inner intelligence, and ultimate immunity. We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing. So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenil.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I'm here with Sandra Barrett, and she is the author of Secrets of Your Cells, Discovering Your Body's Inner Intelligence, as well as co-authored with Dr. Elson Haas, who we had on February 15th, Ultimate Immunity. And she's been sharing with us just this wonderful free, I like to call it free-range exploration of our cells and our health and wellness and optimizing every little square inch of us or trillion little inches of us, I guess, or little bits of us. Anyway, where I want to go now is this idea, are there specific diets or nutrients or whatever we want to use the different words that will help our cells that maybe we can find out are missing? Because I'm just so amazed at the rise of food sensitivities and food allergies. Are there specific diets that help optimize our cell health?
I wouldn't go into saying there's specific diets, there's specific approaches. I'm sure Elson spoke about it. Maybe other of your guests have talked about, you know, you doing a cleanse first, be able to find out what foods you're really sensitive to. Because we may think we're sensitive to gluten, but we're not. And people just kind of grab on to the latest hype and take it as their own. I don't know why there's more food sensitivities these days. Is it because we're more aware of it? We never talked about it before? Or is it because of the GMO, non-organic foods? I don't know. I mean, one of the things when you were asking about diet, one of the things that's really interesting is here the stress lady talking about stress. When we're stressed, the microbiome in the gut then starts responding to our stress, and the microbiome is educating our immune cells, and it's educating immune cells to become hyperactive. So from the bigger perspective.
Let me ask a question here. So our gut bacteria and all those little critters in our gut are educating our immune system on what's going on.
Yes.
Wow. So bacteria is running the show.
In a lot of ways. Yeah. I mean, the people who study the microbiome will say it's affecting everything, our brain, et cetera. I haven't been much of a student of the microbiome, other than when I wrote the book with Elson, but also learning that when we're stressed, the biome activates immune activation. So it's turning on inflammation. So another reason, not about what food we're taking in, but another strategy, how do we improve our cell health, is less stress. Because you're changing not only, you're changing the gut microbes, and there are more microbes in the gut than there are cells, our own cells. And one of their jobs is very positive. One of their jobs is to educate the immune cells. And we don't want to turn them on to become inflammatory, hyperactivated cells, especially when we have an autoimmune disease. So lower the stress. And one thing I used to teach about, I haven't talked about it in years, was the Eat Right for Your Type diet. I don't know if you've read about that.
Yeah, I read that book years ago. Years
ago. And I read about it. A friend had recommended the book. And the foods listed that the foods that I shouldn't eat, according to the blood type diet, were foods I kind of got reactions to, but I wasn't sent, in a food sensitivity test, that wouldn't have shown up. And yet the immune story made a little bit of sense to me. And I used to go around the country teaching health professionals, continuing ed. And I was teaching up in the Seattle area where there's a well-known naturopathic school, Bastyr. And I talked about Eat Right for Your Type. And one of the people attending the course was a professor at Bastyr. And she said, at Bastyr, which is naturopathic college, the students have to they have to experience every diet. And she said, the diet that was the most popular was the Eat Right for Your Type. And the diet that was most popular, she had 50 patients on it that were feeling better. So people aren't talking about it these days, but when I used to, I learned that it was beneficial for a lot of people.
It's funny that you bring that up. I read it years ago, at least 20 years ago, if not more. And I still eat that way, naturally. I read the book and I went, well, okay, there were only a couple of things that I said, okay, to cross those off the list. But other than that, I think my body intuitively knew to eat that way. That was what was so fascinating to me. And I do feel better when I stick to that. Sometimes when I travel, it's hard to stick to a very specific diet, but I do feel better when I eat those foods that I know make me feel better. And you're right about the cleanse. Let's just quickly, we only have a couple minutes, just looking at the clock here. You're right about the cleanse. When I did the cleanse with Elson's group, what was fascinating to me was adding the foods back in. I was like, oh, that was really surprising to me. You could feel each and every experience instead of like what I call this group experience where you don't know what's causing what.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, we could, Sandra, I've just enjoyed this, what I call a free range exploration of cell health. I love it that you're willing and to run down rabbit holes with me and my understanding of our secrets of our cells. Tell us, we've got about 4 minutes left, so I want to be able sure to get, where can we find your books as well to know more about you and if you have any final thoughts.
Oh, this has been great fun, Sharon. I loved it. I loved your question, and we could free range, organic, speaking together. My Secrets of Your Cells, you can get at Amazon or bookstores or my website. Same with Ultimate Immunity, you can get, I'm sure, at Amazon. The wine book, Wine's Hidden Beauty, is only available on my website. My website is sandrabarrett.com. And I also teach an evergreen stress management class that people could take with or without coaching. I teach live courses. I will be starting a live online Awakening Your Cellular Intelligence, probably starting in March. Not probably, it will be starting in March. I've been teaching it live to lifelong learning program at Sonoma State right now, and it's been really fun. So I thought I'd like to make it available online. And what else do I want to say? If you want to get into the metaphysics of molecules, check out Astro Elements at my website, which is a whole other discussion unrelated to ourselves, but not unrelated to our life. And what else can I say? This has been really fun. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, it's been awesome. Thank you, Sandra. And I just love that Dr. Haas introduced us, everyone. If you've got an idea for a great guest, drop me a note. Just like Sandra is a new friend that I just found, and I love exploring everything with her. I love to know what's on your mind as well. So go over to understandingautoimmune.com. There you'll find some show notes of our show here with Sandra, as well as the website spelled out. It's sandrabarrett.com. Check it out. You could tell she's just got a wide range of experience and interests, and I just love it. I love people who have this organic, wide-ranging curiosity about life. I think that's what makes us thrive, is that curiosity that keeps us going. So everyone, go over to understandingautoimmune.com, and then also join me next week for another brand new episode, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, every Friday night. Have a great week, whatever your adventures. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.